Life is easy when you're up on the mountain and you've got peace of mind like you've never known. Then things change and you're down in the valley. But don't lose faith, for you're never alone. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, you know that you make them right. And the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. God of the day is still God in the night. You talk of faith when you're up on the mountain, talk comes so easy when life's at its best. But it's down in the valley of those trials and temptations, well, that's when faith is really put to the test. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, you know that He'll make them right. And the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. God of the day is still God in the night. God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, you know that you make them right. And the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. God of the day, God in the night. God of the day is still God in the night. God of the day is still God in the night.
God of the day, He's still God in the night. I want to tell you, when God is on your side, oh, you on His side, both of them, He's going to take care of you. He's going to watch over you. He's going to be there when you need Him. He's going to meet your needs and make Himself real in your life. There is nothing to match serving the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm preaching today, the door into the kingdom, from St. John chapter 10. What a chapter. Oh, I hope you're going to love it. John chapter 10, I want you to be blessed, and I believe you will be. Blessings to you. Let's go to prayer. Father, make known yourself and all the beauty and power of your righteousness, even as I pray. Father, make known yourself that grace and beauty and virtue and power may be mighty known and experienced by my people. I pray, Father, make your hand so real and your grace so real that no one can doubt that you're everything we need. Now, Father, touch this message. May it be mighty to the power and glory of your name. Let your name be honored. Let your name be exalted. Father, I'm trusting in you with all my heart, all that I am. I trust in you, Lord. I know you're faithful. In Jesus' name I pray, and amen. Now, going to go to the sanctuary to hear the word of the Lord, and I really want you to be blessed today. Nothing will make me happier than that you be blessed and that your life be moved for Christ and His kingdom. He's a God you can trust, friend. He's a God that's never less than faithful. Don't miss Open Bible Dialogue every Saturday. I really want you to hear it. I want you to be blessed, and I want your life to be affected and changed for God and His glory and His honor. And I want you to grow in His graces and His knowledge, because there is nothing as rich as growing in the Lord. I mean growing in the Lord, in the mercy and the grace which He so amply provides. So get your heart ready, will you? Go get your Bible, St. John chapter 10. Get ready for the text. Let's read it together, and let's hear the Word of God, and let's let your life be changed today. And I want to thank the Lord for that good song. He's a God of the mountain. He's the God of the day and the God of the night. He's everything you need, my friend. He's everything you need. May the blessings of the Lord be with you. May His grace overshadow you now as we go to the sanctuary to hear the Word of the Lord. To hear the Word of the Lord.
I love the message I've got this morning. Is it okay to love your own preaching? If a man don't love what he's preaching, he ain't going to be much of a preacher. Would you agree? John chapter 10, verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Now, he's not talking about us. He's talking about Jesus in the first two verses. Verse 2, but he that entereth by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Those first two verses, I'm going to read them again. They're talking about Jesus. They're talking about Christ. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him, that's Christ, the porter openeth, that's the Holy Ghost. And the sheep, this is us now, hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal. Now listen to the words. Listen to the words, please. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. This has got to be one of the sweetest texts in the book of John, or maybe the whole Bible. I want to preach this morning on this thought. Very important that you hear it clearly. The door into the kingdom. The door into the kingdom. Now, before you're seated, I want to tell you that the church world is full of people standing at the door, but they don't understand the call to enter in. They are religious. They have been many times born into religion. They have spent their life in church. They are religious. And they are at the door. And they know who Jesus is. And they know the great truths of the Bible. But somehow, they have never entered through the door into the sheepfold. And it burdens me with great stress and great sense of sorrow. Oh, that my head was waters and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep and squall day and night for the slain of the daughters of his people. for the multitude. Oh, that you would join me praying for the multitude who stand at the door, but who have never entered in. Three things we will see in this verse, this group of verses. We will see that he first entered the door. Then after he entered the proper door, he became the door. And then third, an invitation is extended for us to enter the door and sup with him and be a part of his kingdom. So we're going to preach about that. He became the door, but first he had to enter the door, and now we can enter the door. Father, help me preach this morning. Grant me wisdom and understanding. Grant me strength in the Spirit and the Holy Ghost. And let us hear something from God this morning. You may be seated. You see, John chapter 10 is one of those top verses in the Bible that shows us the fullness of the Christian life. It deals with it from the conception of Christ in the womb of a virgin and takes us all the way to a marvelous promise that he will give you life abundant if you will enter into the door. Hallelujah. It's a text that is full of meaning and full of purpose. And I want so much that God will help me. I want so much that God will help me to cover all the bases in this great text this morning. Now, first, let's begin. He said, and it's very powerful the way he said it. He said, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold. The sheepfold is that place of the kingdom where the people of God are together, and where the children of God are to be numbered, and where we are to live in the blessings of the King, blessings of His grace and of His mercies. And He made it plain, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, he is not a shepherd, but he's a thief, and he's a robber. He was speaking of many false prophets and many false messiahs that has shown up in Israel over the history of Israel's expectation of a Messiah. There had been men of many degrees, men of many statures and attitudes that had proposed to be the Messiah. Israel had dealt with many imposters who tried to say to Israel, I'm him. I'm the Messiah. I've come to save you. And they had become just like in our generation, with all these people saying Jesus is going to come on such and such date, and Jesus is going to come to such and such place, and Jesus is going to come in such and such manner, and Jesus is going to come at this seal and that seal and that seal, and you've got so many different opinions until the world as a whole becomes weary of it all, and they pay none of us any attention. And so it had happened in Israel. There had been so many false prophets. There had been so many false messiahs. Israel had become weary of those who claimed to be messiahs. Israel had become negative and doubtful that he would ever come. The false had cast such a shadow on the possibility of the real that those in the kingdom of Israel could not expect and did not believe and never truly accepted that Jesus was the true Messiah. They could not, because there had been so many doubtful experiences, so many dreary challenges, and so many calls that I'm him, until Israel was weary of it all. And we're there today. We really are there today. And so Jesus said, there are many coming. They're coming saying they are the Messiah. They're trying to enter into the sheepfold and take charge and leadership of the kingdom. But he said, they're not the true shepherd. Because any person, he says, that entereth not in by the door is not the shepherd. But he that entereth in by the door, he is the shepherd. Now, what kind of door was Jesus talking about? Jesus was talking about the prophetic door of the Old Testament. He was talking about the many promises of the psalmist David, of the great prophet Isaiah, of the prophet Zechariah, of the other prophets of Holy Scripture who declared a Messiah was coming. A shepherd was coming. The true one was coming. They had declared it with all patience and dedication. And now Jesus says, that's the door. The prophecies of my coming, that's the door. And I'm coming to you, entering in by the door. Now, it's exciting to study that door a little bit, because that door meant it had to be a virgin-born son. That door meant that the mother of this Christ had to be pure, having never known a man. Those prophecies determined he had to be born in Bethlehem. Those prophecies determined that he would grow up in a kind of, you know, insignificant family, an insignificant background. That prophecy had declared many wonderful things about him. And this was the door of which Jesus was speaking. And he said those who claim to be the shepherd, those who claim to be the Messiah, have come through many different doors. But I'm coming to you through the door of prophetic truth. I'm coming to you through the door of absolute word from God by the prophets and the servants. I'm entering in to you by the door. Now let's take a moment. Born of a virgin. Born of a virgin. A little maiden up in the city of Nazareth. Having never known a man, but had become connected to him and was now his wife-to-be. She was engaged. They called it a different, what did they call it? Espousal. She was espoused to him. And she was to be his bride. But while she waits for the wedding date, an angel of God appears to her and speaks to her, Mary, thou hast found favor with God. You're going to bear a son. And his name is going to be Jesus. And she's saying, I haven't known a man. I can't bear a child. The Holy Ghost shall come upon you. The power of the highest shall overshadow you. That holy thing which shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God. Hallelujah. So the door was now open. And Mary had received the word of an angel. And Mary is now with child. Only a few days with child. But she hurries to go to her cousin, whose name was Elizabeth. And she did not know that Elizabeth too was now with child in her old age by a promise from God to her husband Zechariah. So she arrives in Elizabeth's home. And when she comes in, Elizabeth is moved. The babe that's only 6 months in pregnancy leaps in Elizabeth's womb. And the Bible said Elizabeth and John the Baptist are filled with the Holy Ghost. And Elizabeth prophesies and tells of the beauty of this glorious event and this glorious moment. Hallelujah. He's entering by the door, you see. He's coming in exactly like the prophetic book had declared he would come. He's missing no details. He's missing nothing of prophetic truth. He's fulfilling everything that God has said. He's born in Bethlehem. It took a decree from Rome to get him to Bethlehem to be born. Hallelujah. Took a decree from Rome. They had to make a decree that all the world should be taxed. Not just Israel, not just Jerusalem, not just Nazareth, not just Galilee, but all the world. And everybody was commanded to travel to their own little home, their own little, you know, original family domain. And they were to go there to be rescued, to pay their taxes. And so Joseph takes Mary, who's heavy with child. I mean, she's nearing the 9 months of delivery. And he knows it's a precarious journey. But he gets a donkey. And he puts her upon the donkey. And they travel way up north in Nazareth, all the way down near Jerusalem to Bethlehem. And it's a long journey. And they come tired late in the afternoon. And all the rooms are taken. And there's no place to stay. But the Bible had to be fulfilled. Because Jesus was entering by the door. Hallelujah. Jesus was entering by the door. So everything had to be perfect. And so God, by a decree from Rome, brought Mary and Joseph way up in Nazareth on a donkey down to Jerusalem. The rooms are filled because Jesus had to be born in an inconspicuous manner. He had to be born in an inconspicuous manner. She had to lay him in a manger. Hallelujah. And so they get a cattle stall where Mary can go to give birth to her son by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Heaven would come down from the very presence of the Father in the form of a baby born in the womb of a virtuous virgin woman. And he will be born in a stable. Can you believe God's plan and God's way for doing things? Hallelujah. But it was God's word, and he was the true shepherd, and he was to enter in by the door, and they take him to be dedicated some days after his birth. And who's there but Simeon, who comes by the Holy Ghost, and then Anna, who comes by the Holy Ghost, and they pronounce who he is. It is indeed the shepherd. He's entered in by the door. Hallelujah. It's all on time. It's on schedule, and it's perfect. Holy Krishna Murthy. Do you love him this morning, church? Throw your hand up and tell the world how much you love him. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, born of a lowly virgin in a shepherd's stall in an insignificant city of Bethlehem, because all of it was fulfilling God's plan. Hallelujah. He came and entered in by the door. I love it. I've studied this passage all my life and never understood those first two verses. But now I understand the glory of God in the fulfillment of all things. Everything with God has to be perfect. Everything with God. So he says, the shepherd that doesn't enter in by the door is not a true shepherd. He's a thief and a robber. But I'm the true shepherd. And I came to you in God's way, in God's plan. Oh, church, what a message for us this morning. So, he came through the prophetic door to fulfill God's perfect will. That's the first thing. I don't want you to ever forget it. You can tell the world he's the grandest person ever born of human flesh. You can tell the world he's the first spotless lamb. He's the first who was without sin, without the nature of Adam since the day of Adam. He's the first, and he enters in, and he's born of a virgin. Hallelujah. In the exact spot where God ordained he was to be born. Hallelujah. Everything is in perfect order. And you could preach the whole sermon today on him entering by the door. He literally entered in by the door. But what's amazing? It's when this great Son of God had left heaven, fulfilling every prophecy of the Holy Bible, Brother Jim, comes to Bethlehem, or his mom and dad brings him to Bethlehem, still in the womb, for him to be born as God has ordained. And all of that's happened in perfect order. Now he says, I didn't just come by the door. I am the door. I am the door. And I thought when the Holy Ghost poured this on my heart last night, I thought I would explode. To think that I, Joe Chambers, actually know who the door is. And it's not hard to know, because he has so revealed himself in perfection in how he came and how he was born. And everything was in order, and everything was pure, and everything was of God. And now he says, I am the door. I want to bring you this morning the message that he is the door. He didn't say, I'm one of the doors. He didn't say, there are many doors. Brother Matt, he says, I am the door. I am that I am. You remember when God gave that name to Moses as he watched the burning bush. God said, you tell him, I am that I am has sent you. Hallelujah. Well, Jesus is saying now, I am. Not just I am, but I am the door. And so there's a double statement there. I am the door. I am the eternal Son of God. But I am the eternal Son of God who has become the door. So that any man and any woman on the face of this earth can enter into the door and be gloriously saved. And there are no other doors. There are no other ways. God help this crazy church world that's trying to tell people, if you're sincere in your religion, you may be a Hindu, you may be a Buddhist, you may be a Muslim, you may be a whatever. It doesn't matter as long as you're sincere. Oh, yes, it does. You can stand outside outside the door and look at it and see Him who is the King of Kings, who is now the door, until you die and spend eternity in hell. But you've got to go inside that door. You got to enter the door. Hallelujah. You got to enter the door. I am the door. I wish I could paint a picture of a door. Hallelujah. And show you how it's just so beautiful. It's just a door. And you can enter in if you want to. Hallelujah. Will you raise your hand and just love on Him a minute? I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love your Bible. I love these truths of your Bible. And Jesus, you are the door. You are the door. Hallelujah. I heard your name 59 years ago and became convinced you were the door. And I got up as a kid and walked down that aisle and entered that door. Hallelujah. And I've been going in and out and finding pasture for 59 years. Hallelujah. I am the door. He said, I am the door. I said, He said. I'm saying it, but He said it. I'm the door. And it says, he that entereth in by the door shall go in and out and find pasture. I like that. You know, anybody here was ever a farmer? Not a soul in this building was ever a farmer. Who? You were a farmer? Daddy, you a farmer? Listen, when you understand what he means by pasture, I remember those green meadows where Mom and Dad would graze the cows and graze the goats at times and graze the horses. I remember there was creeks going through those meadows, and it was my job as a young boy to keep them clean of brush and undergrowth. And Daddy could put me out there for a day, and he could come and look at where I'd been and what I'd done, and he could know whether I worked or not. He could know whether I remember being taken to the woodshed and getting one more bruising because I didn't work like I was supposed to do while Daddy was gone to town. Because those pastures were very precious, and the grass was green. We had to keep the onions out. If the cows got in onions, you couldn't drink the milk. You had to pour the milk out. You don't remember that? Does anybody here remember that? I remember getting a glass of that onion-filled milk, and it won't drinkable. You see, the pastures was a place to graze, was a place to be healthy, was a place to grow in the good things of what you were there for. It was a place of prosperity. It was very, very important on the farm. And so when the Lord uses the term, those that enter in by the door shall go in and out and find pasture, He's talking about blessings. He's talking about health. He's talking about the good things that God has provided for you. He's talking about you having everything that God has made available because you entered the door. You can never get to healing till you enter the door. You can never get to the blessings of God till you enter the door. You'll just be looking and you'll be thinking and you'll be desiring and you'll have an appetite maybe. But when you enter the door, it becomes your possession. I love it when he said they shall enter the door. They shall go in and out and find pasture. He even said he leads the sheep. Now, the door, in this case, is the shepherd. And he doesn't just invite you into his fold. He invites you into his presence. He invites you into his warm love. He invites you into the place of his comfort and the place of his satisfaction. He invites you in where joy is unspeakable and full of glory. He invites you in where there's an abundance of spiritual life, an abundance of eternal life, an abundance of things like you've never known before. I was 16 years old when I was saved, and I didn't know what joy was. I didn't know what happiness was. I didn't know what it was to be so full of joy that you could run and shout and praise God and say hallelujah and raise your hands and bless Him wherever you were. But once I entered the door, I found the shepherd was leading me into places of blessings and places of joy. Listen to me, church. Listen to me. The Christian life was never meant to be a dreary thing. If your face is always gloomy and sad, you're not much of a Christian. And I doubt you've ever been in the door. If your face is always full of complaint and all you can do is growl and all you can do is be a belly acher, if you never have any joy, you're missing the sheepfold. You need to enter the door and let the shepherd take you where there's abundance of life and joy and satisfaction. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, what a God we serve. What a Savior we have. He says, I don't put you into my sheepfold and leave you there. He said, I go before you. He's right here in front of us this morning. I've never, Sister Andra, I've never felt the joy of the Lord more in my life. I've never been happier to be a Christian in my life. Age only makes it better. I promise you. Age only makes it better. I may stumble around sometimes and you may see me weave and wave up there a little bit, but don't you think that I'm fixing to leave and take my flight out of here. I got some time in this old bones. Hallelujah. I'm serving Him who's my healer. Hallelujah. And He said, if I wait before Him, He'll renew my youth like an eagle. Hallelujah. And I'm awaiting on my youth. I'm awaiting on my youth. I'm awaiting on His blessings. Somebody raise a hand and say, I'm waiting on His blessings. Come on, waiting. I'm waiting on His blessings. Hallelujah. I'm not in some dreary, drought-filled place of nothingness. The grass in this pasture is knee-deep. Knee-deep. You didn't even hear that. So you've never been in pastures, one or two of you. I'll never forget hearing about the story of the cow that had got over in the pasture where the grass had dried up. And there was right beside her another pasture full of knee-high grass, and the gate was down. And the old Methodist preacher said to the Pentecostal preacher, you know, not the Methodist, it was Baptist, said to the Pentecostal preacher, what's wrong with that cow? She's over there where the grass is dried up, and she could walk right through the gate. Oh, he said, once in grass, always in grass. That's what the cow thinks. Once in grass, always in grass. It's kind of like the church world. They think I was in grace 20 years ago. I'm still in grace. You're in grace only if you're following the shepherd. Hallelujah. You're in grace only if you're following the shepherd. I don't think there's a doctrine on the face of this earth that's more insane than the doctrine of once saved, always. They aren't trying to protect the doctrine. They're trying to protect their right to live like they please and still go to heaven. That's what they're trying to protect. Listen, let me tell you. Oh, hallelujah. This pasture is full of satisfaction. It's full of grace. It's full of life. It's full of joy. He said, I am the door. Would you say it with me? Jesus is the door. Everybody say it. Jesus is the door. Do you mind saying Jesus is the only door? Jesus is indeed the only door. The everlasting pleasure of going in and out as a daily servant of the Lord. There's nothing like it. Hallelujah. I'm camping out in heaven's glory and heaven's blessings. Hallelujah. I remember loving meadows. Meadows? Am I saying the word right? Meadows. When I was a young boy. I'd love to go to a place and see the green grass. And there's a creek down there flowing. And we'd go take a blanket and take a basket and have a picnic in the meadow beside the stream. Have you ever done that? Have you ever gone out on a picnic and found a big pasture somewhere in a big meadow and say, hey, look yonder. Let's walk out in that pasture and let's have our picnic down by the stream. I remember that. And I always loved it. Now that's really what we're doing as Christians. We're camping out in the pastures of the Lord. We're camping out in the presence of living waters. Hallelujah. We're camping out where joy is finished and complete and full. We're camping out where the heavenly presence of God is rich and real. And if you're not camping out there, you can. You've got to enter in by the door. But once you enter in, it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now, let's go third. The door. Jesus said, I am the door. And then Jesus says, and it's so powerful to me, beautiful indeed, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Then he said, the thief, he cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Raise your hand and just love on him. Oh, what a joy. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. We've entered into a sheepfold by the shepherd. He's the door. And now you've got to enter in. I want to talk a little bit about going in. Our churches are full of people. I don't know who here might meet this, fit this particular scenario. But our churches are full of people who stood at the door. You loved the door. You spoke fondly of the door. You spoke fondly of the life that is available in Christ. You've talked about Him. You believe on Him in your head. But you've never said, I'm going in the door. And I'm fixing to merge myself into the sheepfold where Christ is the shepherd. I'm giving up the life of wondering and the life of unbelief, the life of carelessness, the life of selfishness. And I'm coming to the shepherd. And I'm entering in by the single door that leads to everlasting life. And we've got church people over the world. There are probably 90-some percent of the church world that are in this category. They've never gone inside the door. They've never surrendered, given up self and carnality and fleshly living and unholy conduct, unholy action. They've never been willing to give that up. They've never said to the world, goodbye, world, goodbye. Hallelujah. This morning, I've done it so many times through the years, but I'd like to do it again. I'd like to look this world straight in the face, eyeball to eyeball, and say, goodbye, world, goodbye. I don't belong to you any longer. I've walked through the door. That's the door called Jesus. I've entered into the pasture where abundant life is complete and free. And here's where I'm going to live the rest of my days. You say you're 76. You're too old to enjoy the world if you wanted to. I don't know whether that's true or not, but I don't want to, so I'm not even considering. I belong to Jesus. I've entered the door. I'm in a pasture. I don't know whether you see it or not, but I got grass up to my kneebows. I got grass up to my kneebows. Hallelujah. I'm walking in a matter that's so full of glory until it's overwhelming and exciting. I'm down by the stream that's flowing with cool, clear waters. Hallelujah. And I'm drinking from the fountain that never runs dry. Hallelujah. I'm enjoying heaven even in advance. Not there yet, but I've got a little taste of it. And I can hardly wait until the whole meal is set before me. Hallelujah. I belong to Him. I belong to Christ. I belong to the Savior. I've entered in by the door. If you've entered in, why don't you stand up and say, I've entered in by the door. I belong to the King. I'm His. Hallelujah. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leadeth me in green pastures. Hallelujah. He even sets a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Hallelujah. He's all I need. He's all I want. Raise your hand and claim Him as your own. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Lord, thank You. Thank You, Lord. Somebody help me. Hallelujah. 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 He is mine and I'm His. Hallelujah. I've entered in by the door and I shall live here forever because He's mine. I said, He's mine. Hallelujah. Raise your hand and tell Him how much you love Him. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I am the door, He said. I am the door, He said. I had something I wrote down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not one of the doors. He's the only door. Brother Buck, He's the only door. Brother Jim, He's the only door. Hallelujah. Do you love Him? Hallelujah. 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 How many of you in this building know you've been in the door? Let me see your hand. Raise it up high. You've been in the door. You've been in the door. You know that. Hallelujah. Are you living in His pastures? Are you living in His pastures? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's nothing like His pastures. Brother Allen, it's rich, it's sweet. Hallelujah. Grass to your knees. Hallelujah. What a joy to belong to the King. What a joy to belong to the King. Sing.
But the angels called Him Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Born of a virgin.
Woo, I like that. Hallelujah.
Mary called Him Jesus.
Hallelujah.
But I called Him Lord.
Rubbish the line to me.
And no the angels called Him Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Born of a virgin.
Sing it with all your guts.
Mary called Him Jesus.
But I call Him Lord.
I call Him.
Is He your Lord? Is He your shepherd and your Lord?
The angels call
hallelujah.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Born of a virgin.
Jesus, and I know Him as my Lord. I know Him as my Lord. He guides me day by day.
Jesus,
hallelujah, hallelujah.
Born of a virgin.
Do you want to walk in His pastures? Do you want to live in His fellowship? Do you want to drink from His fountain? Come and stand at the altar with me, would you? If you're not saved, I invite you to come and kneel. If you're not saved, don't go home without walking through this door. Don't go home without walking through this door. Hallelujah. There's no door like this door.
Mary called Him.
Hallelujah. But I called Him Lord. Everybody in the building, if you would. Hallelujah. 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 Now don't be stubborn with me. Hallelujah. Oh, God, help me.
God, help me. Step in.
Get that out of me.
But I call Him Lord.
I want you to lift our hand up now and sing it with us. Call Him Lord,
but
would you?
The angels called Him Jesus.
Hallelujah.
He was born of a virgin.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Mary called Him Jesus.
Oh, but I called
Him.
Say that line
Lord,
again. I called Him Lord.
But I called Him Lord.
Two times. Three times.
But I called Him Lord, and the angels called Him Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Born of a virgin.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, Holy Ghost.
Mary called Him Jesus. But I called Him Lord.
Now listen to me. You copper laden door. I feel His Holy Ghost. I really do sense the mighty presence of the Holy Ghost. I don't think I've ever enjoyed preaching so much in my life as I have the last few weeks. This Holy Ghost is so real in my soul. This is nothing but an old clay pot up here. Nothing but a clay pot. I'm finding the more I understand I'm just a clay pot, the better He's able to use me. You think you're something, that's when you're nothing. How many of you can say, Brother Chambers, I've entered the door, and now I want to live in the pastures of the grace and presence of Jesus Christ 7 days a week? If you can't say 7 days a week, don't raise your hand. 7 days a week. I want to go to bed at night with Him on my mind. If I wake up in the night, I'm going to quote the Bible. I'm going to live in the presence of Jesus. I've been telling Him for days, Father, everything of this vessel belongs to the Holy Ghost. My emotions belong to the Holy Ghost. Some people can be emotional just because they like being loud. I don't want to be loud just to be loud. I want to be loud because something is turning over inside of me. How many feel that way? Hallelujah. I want it to be real. I've seen enough emotions around Pentecost to drive it all in the hole, just like the Jews had with these false messiahs. I want the real. He's in this house. Close your eyes. And let's just love on Him a minute. Holy Ghost, I don't know what You have for us, but I know one thing. I want it. The gift of prophecy. I want these hands to become so full of the Holy Ghost that I can see people filled with the Spirit and see the sick healed. I want Brother Marlon, Brother Jim, Brother Matt, Brother Mark. I want numbers, Brother Ken. I want people all over this building, the ladies, so full of the Holy Ghost that they can go in the grocery store and stir the whole grocery store up just by their presence. Not by how loud they are, but how real they are. How real they are. Full of the Holy Ghost. Oh, you'll get loud if you're full of the Holy Ghost.
Say,
raise your hand and just let the Holy Ghost have you. Let the Holy Ghost have you. If He wants to speak in you, now's a good time to let Him speak. He'll refill you with the Holy Ghost. I guarantee you, every time He refills you, you'll speak in tongues as the Spirit gives you utterance. Hallelujah. You don't just speak in tongues when you receive the baptism. You speak in tongues when He lingers in your life. Surely, the presence of the Lord. Sing it out. Sing it out. Come on, sing it.
Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place.
In the monte. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I can feel the brush of angels' wings.
I see glory.
On each face.
Not each, but some.
Surely
I see glory on some faces. Some of your faces don't have the glory on them yet. I want to see it on your face. I want to see it on your face. Let the Holy Ghost smile through you. Lord, I want You to shine in my face. I want men to see You in me.
His mighty power.
And His grace.
And His grace.
Holy coming. Hallelujah.
I can feel.
Hallelujah. Liliana, I see His glory on your face.
I see glory.
Let it shine. Let it shine, Liliana.
Surely.
Surely.
The presence of the Lord. Is in
God's trying to touch somebody. You let Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Of Jehovah.
In the presence of Jehovah. In the backseat. In the mindset of the Romani arms of His soul. Have a loin set up. Ibrahim set up. Have a loin. Throw your head up. Throw your face wide open, will you? Hallelujah.